Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Greetings, groomers! Hi, Susie, what's up?
Welcome to episode 207 of the Groom Pod, recorded on May the 5th, 2019. May the forced air dryer be with you the day after Star Wars Day in Tucson, Arizona and Snohomish, Washington. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Stazco, Show Season, South Park, and Evolution Cheers. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to work on, well, improving my scissor skills. Because once again, we're back in Susie's classroom today. Also, we have a definition du jour that's per sulfates, and Susie's theory of mobile scheduling will be our final segment. And Barbara, tell me about your week.
Well, I had a milestone event. It's in no way related to pet grooming, okay?
Oh,
am I allowed to have a life outside of pet grooming? Well, I don't know. But this Thursday, I went on the ride on a Harley.
Oh my God, bucket list thing.
Bucket list thing. So maybe you'll remember, I might have mentioned this around my birthday, that I have a cat customer. And, you know, I have my customers help me with their cats because it really works for the cat.
Right.
And I've groomed Richard's cat a few times, and he's a really nice guy, and he's very patient with his cat. And so that's a good sign, right? And so I learned that he's got a Harley and has had one for years and blah, blah, blah. And so on my birthday, he gave me a big birthday hug and all of this. And I said, you know what I really want for my birthday is a ride on your Harley. And and he said, no problem and all that. So we just now got around to scheduling it. And it was very interesting, Susie.
Yeah, tell me about the bike, because I want to visualize this whole thing.
Well, I asked him what model it was, and I promptly forgot, but it was what I would call a touring bike. It had a large rear platform with the things to put stuff and stuff. Okay,
did it have a big cushy seat?
Well, it had two seats.
Yeah. Okay,
individual seats. That was a good thing.
Cool.
I didn't exactly want my parts right up against my customer.
I thought that's part of the reason you go on a motorcycle ride. Okay, so, moving on.
So the biggest challenge, Susie, was getting me on the damn bike.
Oh, I bet.
My arthritis, my hip, my knee, you know, and I was supposed to, what he showed me to do was to take my left foot, and that's my bad knee and my bad hip. It's my bad side, Susie. And I was supposed to step on that pedal and lift myself up and then slide my other leg over the seat. Well, I went to lift to step on that pedal, and there was just like no fucking way. It was like, this is not happening. And then, of course, in my mind, oh God, this is not happening. I said, and it is all happening in 2 seconds. And I said, I can't. I said, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute, Richard. I'm going to need some help. And we were at my shop. So we were next door to my landlord in the gun shop, right?
Right.
Fortunately, I had stopped by to visit with Jim before the bike showed up, and I mentioned my bike ride, and we joked about it, and I said, well, at least in case anything happens, here's the rent. And I paid him my rent, and he cracked up and liked that. And so I went in, so here I am, you know, like 10 minutes later, I walk in, I said, Jim, I need your help out here. And he comes and he said, well, what's up? I said, I need you to shove my ass up onto this bike. Oh man, it was a, I won't tell you the details, but we made it. And then we had to go from the dirt, you know, Jim has refused to even let me pave the parking lot, right? So the right. parking lot has got, every year it gets these big sunken in areas right at the curb, and it's gravelly. And there we are on the bike, and I'm looking down. He's going to pull out on the Grant Road, and I'm thinking, we could fall down right here. You know, like,
for how, sure.
Do I have any balance for in a, in a, if it gets weird? No, you don't, Barbara. You're barely on there. So we're not even onto the road yet, and I'm scared, you know. And then we got on the road, and it was freaking 4 o'clock p.m. traffic, and it's stop and start. And you know what? It's not so much fun to stop and start that Harley when you don't know if you got a seat, good seat or not.
Okay, so give me a little bit of background on your own personal experience with motorcycles. Did you ever ride a motorcycle? I know your family was into the cars. Were they into bikes?
Well, no. My brother was the bike guy. My father was into the sports cars. My brother was into dirt bike racing. And then he was into, he always had a motorcycle. Yeah, one time he burned down our garage.
Oh, dear.
Working on his motorcycle. I remember that. Fire department came. Well, anyway.
No experience for yourself.
I had a little bit of experience.
Okay. Yeah. So you
I knew the feel of it. So, you know, well, and I did a lot of bicycle riding. So I have a balance thing, is that's done, you know.
Okay.
And I rode horseback.
Right.
That's another seat thing, you know. So I had some confidence that I was going to be okay, but I still was like really terrified.
Okay, so now here we are in downtown Tucson. It's rush hour and we're whipping through traffic on the Harley.
Well, we're not. We're just like lurching.
Oh, well.
We're lurching with traffic on the Harley, and it's pretty scary. But, I was okay. I didn't choke him to death or anything. You know, I did ask. He had set my hands on his shoulders. Well, I wasn't going to ride for a whole thing with my hands up there. I said, can I put my hands around your waist? And he said, yeah. And so I did that. And then, you know, like even before we got out of the traffic, I was no hands and I was fine. But once we got through the interstate underpass, then we were out into the better zone, you know, and we went out over the mountain range that's to the west of us, Gates Pass, and it's a real steep up and a real steep down. That was fun, and it was beautiful out there. All the cacti are blooming, and you see the desert, and you see these cacti, and you don't realize that this ugly little prickly thing is going to have some beautiful blooms on it. It was really beautiful out there. It was, it was a combination of being able to kind of go fast on a straightaway and dig into the mountain curves. And I did real well in the leaning with him and all of that. And because it just came natural, he told me I needed to lean with him. And I said, yeah, well, look at, you haven't seen me on the scooter in Target. I got that. I said, I'm leaning into it and I'm in a shopping cart. So anyway, then we got me off the bike, and I won't bore you with the details, but that I thought we might have to go to the fire station and ask the paramedics, those handsome guys, to lift me off. Please lift me off the bike.
Sat your eyelashes a little bit.
Right. Well, it was all, but it was a, you know, here's another, I'll give you the kind of weird background. My brother had a bike. My brother was killed on his bike, or died on his bike. Well, he wasn't actually on the bike anymore.
What way to bring someone up happy, Susie.
So
I know that.
No, but that was a whole part of the Harley ride. It was a completion for me. It was a kind of a really letting go of all of that motorcycle hatred that I had. you know, and I had never ridden. And before my brother died, I wanted to ride a Harley because he always had these kind of sleek bikes. He had European bikes. He had a Moto Guzzi, you know, they weren't a Harley.
It wasn't American muscle.
It wasn't that muscle. And I wanted to experience that. Well, then after he died, I hated motorcycles so much for it, you know, and that was 81 when he died. So this was kind of a really getting over it kind of thing, putting that motorcycle thing behind me at the same time, a bucket list thing, you know, so it was cool.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. That is so cool. Yeah. Well,
and then the other thing that happened is that Mary Hamilton came to visit me Friday.
Yay!
At work. And we had a really nice visit. And she got to experience Milton.
Cool.
Milton the Naughty Boy Schnauzer.
All right.
Yeah. And we did some treat grooming, and Mary was really good with him and gave him treats, and we just kept feeding him those things. But, you know, she got to experience the kind of lovable part of Milton and the not so lovable parts of Milton. It was really fun, and it was really easy to be with her, and we had a really nice visit.
Yeah, she's a local. She's down there close. And she was willing to do my dirty work when we were trying to get the whole air conditioning swamp cooler thing going. So tell me, was it Milton's dad?
Yes.
So did he notice the cooling?
Yes, and he did another three bills.
Get out of town. That's so cool.
He gave me another $300.
How wonderful. Well, that pleases me that he did that for you. That's really cool.
he's quite a guy. So I thanked him profusely. He said, "You mean Milton's welcome back anytime," I said.
Oh, that's neat.
He's a good guy.
I love that Mary got to spend the day with you. She sent me pictures of the event throughout the day, and that was really fun. I enjoy her a lot. The real key, though, is you got to spend some time with another grown-up groomer. You got to hang out and talk about grooming stuff and visit and just rub elbows, and I think that's so important, and I got to do that last weekend, too.
Oh, good. Tell me.
Our mobile grooming spring fling roundup was so successful. We had so many new people there with their new, brand new, spanking new, shiny new rigs. Oh, my gosh. We toured. I don't know if you watched it. Actually, I do know you watched it because I watch you. I spy on you.
I did watch it. I was very impressed with the lineup of rigs that you had in terms of both number and how spiffed up they were. This wrap around paint jobs is just the bomb.
Isn't it fun? And then you go inside, and so many of these people have bought these brand new from like Wagon Tails or from Hanvey, and they get to put their own color decorations and like little touches inside, and they're very homey compared to my very blank, very old, very
utilitarian.
Utilitarian, but perfectly effective grooming trailer. You know, I just don't have that homey feel like these magical, beautiful, brand new grooming vans had. And I walked through, you can find that video on our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/thegroompod, and you can tour all the rigs. But more importantly, we got to hang out and eat some really delicious homemade food, and we talked about grooming, and some of us brought dogs, and we just schmoozed and enjoyed each other and looked at stuff. And then we also brought this big pile of stuff to give away. Like, I have a bunch of stuff that I have chosen maybe not to finish the gallon of, or didn't like it, or I've grown out of some of the smocks. I shrunk out of some of the smocks, I should say, things like that. So we all bring our stuff, and then we put an awning up. Yeah, an awning and a tarp just in case, although this time we had beautiful weather. It was perfect. It was sunny. But usually we'll just put a tarp up and lay a sheet out, and then everybody can put their stuff on, and we all shop through the free stuff and we move some of our stuff out of the way. I mean, it really is a good way to share new products with people, stuff you wanted to try, to get new clothes, to make use of an entire set of muzzles. There, I got the smallest teeny tiny basket muzzle for a little teeny weeny chihuahua. It's adorable. It's just tiny. And you know, I have the tendency to have bitey chihuahuas that need their nails trimmed. So why not have a little tiny basket muzzle as another option? And I got some cat muzzles and it was great. Then the spread, the food. Groomers can cook. Groomers can really lay out a spread. The thing that's I'd like to talk about here is how do you get 20 different grooming vehicles and people from the school and groomers in the neighborhood, everybody to show up in a parking lot on a Sunday afternoon and hang out for 3.5 hours? How do you do it? Well, the truth is you just have to do it because no one else is going to do it. If you sit there reading and watching that video and reading the comments and think, gosh, I wish we did that in our neighborhood. Well, the only reason you're not doing it in your neighborhood is because you're not doing it. So how do you do something like this? The way Facebook has evolved and the internet, we have the opportunity to connect with people locally without having to get in their face. It's intimidating to go up and knock on a door and walk into a grooming shop where somebody you don't know. Like Barbara said last week, she's not really had anybody do that, at least not very often. And it's scary. It's intimidating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because you just don't know how you're going to be received.
Right.
Or if it's the right time. I mean, you know, like, is this a bad moment?
Exactly. So on the internet, I think pretty much everybody, whether you've looked for it or not, has a local grooming group that is on Facebook, like groomers that are within your state or even in half a state or even in your neighborhood that have a group where people get together. That's the place to start organizing one of these get-togethers. When we started this, we didn't have Facebook. So physically, Brandy, Pam, and myself and some of the other girls went in with flyers to grooming shops and told people we were going to have this event and invited them in person. Man, that was a lot of work in the old days.
You know, we've had a few get-togethers. I'll tell you, it's so awkward. One year we had a get-together and the people who conceived the idea and everything, they got us together at the Greyhound racing track.
What?
Yeah. So first of all,
there's a mess.
There's a mess to start with. What are your, you know, like really rigid attitudes about Greyhound racing, one or the other? And then the seating was all in booths, you know? Maybe you met one person and maybe you didn't meet anybody. If you came with somebody, you sat in the booth and then the three people from the other place sat in the booth and, you know, like that. And that's happened more recently when Animals for Dermatology people have these free presentations. Like,
yep,
we learned about ears. That's where I got the dermatologist said less plucking is better. So, and it's usually some place where there's food and the same thing happens. People separate on tables or in clusters and there's just like, it's awkward, Susie. There's so much just insecurity between the groomers.
Well, I wonder why our group is so successful. My headphones are starting to fit a little bit tight on my head, but is it because I'm there and
yes,
I'm always circulating and making sure are comfortable?
You started that and then it became a culture, you know, but it was because you started it and you eased the whole tension thing way, 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 way back. Even when you had me come up there for things.
Have a topic or a theme or something that's going to get interaction, a game or the swap meet. I think that'll help people, certainly, in those situations. Also, I pick up from what you're saying, don't do it at a restaurant where you're not at a round table. If you're not at a round table, it defeats the whole purpose.
Right. Right.
Right. So make sure you pick the spot you're going to do it at. Make sure you get out there and network with people. Take it upon yourself to be that social lubricant, to be the person who goes between the groups.
Yeah. I like the idea of the meet at the park. you know, and you can pick an area of the park where there's good parking for some rigs. And then on a Ramada, and we need that in Tucson, a Ramada, and bring food. If everybody brings food to share, you're already in a sharing mode, right? Yeah. You're not just there taking the free food on your plate and running off. Oh, you're at least of, oh, did you make this? This is good shit. You know, like,
there's a lot of that, no, Ron. Yeah, and we don't care if you cheat and buy it at the store. You don't have to make it yourself. We do love the stuff that gets made. Oh, there were some really good meatballs. I must have eaten like 10 of those little tiny meatballs in pineapple sauce. And there was, oh, peanut butter pie. That's chocolate and peanut butter in a pie. And then there was cookies and cakes. There was this really weird area of crossover, though. There was cake with fruit in it. I mean, other than pineapple upside down cake, the cake had like, it just looked funny. Anyway, it just, those two don't go together in my world.
Yeah, I know. Well, see, you have a food mixing phobia that the rest of us do not share. But Black Forest cake got black cherries in it.
But it's pie cherries. It's all like jam. I'm okay with jam in my cake. I just don't want a bunch of fruit stuck on top. But it was fine. I mean, it was... Well, I don't know if it was delicious because I didn't eat it because it had fruit touching it, but whatever. There was cookies. There was people brought healthy food, like unidentifiable things, like those little balls of pasta or grain. Yeah, there was a lot of different stuff.
No cheese?
No. I know what that is. It was like either the quinoa or the couscous or the something like that. It's balls. Is it balls? It was balls.
No, it's not balls. And no, it's little tiny grain, teeny weeny grain. It's smaller than rice.
Okay, well, this was balls of something. It was tiny little balls, like a little bit bigger than a BB. And then it had like vegetables in it too.
Oh, balls.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't try that.
Quinoa, it does have a round shell.
Okay.
It might have been. Okay, take it back.
So, I mean, all things welcome. I'm sure there was vegan stuff on the table, but there was all kinds of good desserts. Sometimes we are lacking in the dessert thing. And, of course, just having the vehicles there gives us something to talk about. So that helps for us. But it doesn't have to be a mobile grooming group. But I think mobile groomers tend to be more outgoing and more comfortable interacting with each other. But I've also heard horror stories. You know, a new mobile groomer moves in the area and she waves and the other mobile groomer ignores her. That's not what we're about here. We like each other. We want to support each other.
It really shouldn't be. I know. I've left notes on mobiles and not had any response.
Yeah, that's funny.
Hi, just saw your rig here. I'm a groomer too. Da, 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 da.
All right, so open area like in a park. Have it a potluck so that everybody's contributing something that they can discuss and chat about. Maybe bring the rig so you can talk about that. Bring some stuff you can exchange or give away. All of this stuff creates interaction for the group. And then bring somebody like me, you know, that clown, the guy who's always talking louder than everybody else and flailing their arms around and being entertaining and bringing the group together. So maybe there needs to be a unifying force. But if you're thinking about it and wishing it was you, why don't you just get out there?
Bring Chuck Simmons.
Yeah, Chuck is good that way. Chuck is good that way.
He is good that way. Definitely loud and boisterous and moves his arms around.
Yeah. I'm guilty too.
Well, no, that's why the two of you get along so well together.
It's true. Yeah, we would be a tornado in the room.
Yeah.
we didn't get any new Patreon subscribers but we had all those wonderful donations for the cooling system. So again, thank you for all that.
I just think we've got the greatest fans.
Oh, our fans.
You know,
yes.
I'm so happy that I'm here doing this because every time I get contacted by somebody or I have to contact them because I didn't get the letter out. They just have such cool people. So
I hear you made a phone call this week and it made an impression on one of our listeners.
Now, how did you hear that?
She put it on Facebook.
I didn't see it.
She fangirled out big time. It's so cool. It's so wonderful. It's so fun.
Wait till she gets her brush. She ordered this is kind of funny. She ordered a Flexi King slicker brush from me, and I had my last one. The box that it was in had suffered some rain damage. Okay. Fortunately, the slicker is packaged with a cardboard bottom and then a molded plastic clear top, so you can see it, but it was all very waterproof. But the backside had some water marks on it, and it looks kind of funky. No black mold or anything serious like that. But it just looked, you know, like it just was not appealing. And I thought, oh God, can I even send this? And I went on the whole trip. So what I did, I said, well, I'm just going to happy it up. I'm just going to make the back of this. I'm going to own it, and I'm going to happy it up. So I found some stickers that I had with little woof woof signs and paw prints and, you know, goofy cartoon dogs. And I put that on the back of the brush just so that it's not going to cover the little marks. I didn't even try.
Right.
Well, I kind of tried, but it was. I owned it, but I made it more pleasant, and I made it kind of fun. So that's how.
Nice work.
And she was so kind and forgiving me for my delay. And I have another huge apology that I'm going to have to put out next week, because I got an order over a month ago from Mia in Sweden for one of my books.
Oh, crap.
And, you know, I just can't do the international thing. I can't go to the post office and stand in line for physical reasons. I just die at the post office. And I don't even know how to do FedEx online international. I don't even know how to do post office international online. So I can't sit at my desk and at my computer and create a label for these international shipments. And so it puts me in extreme distress. And then I put my head in the sand.
Well, you're officially apologizing right there. There you go.
Okay, thank you, and I'll be in touch soon.
Okay. Hey, let's take a break and then come back and try to fix my crappy scissoring.
Oh, good.
We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15:1 for deep cleaning, 50:1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems, and there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
I have Buddy the Bichon, who I have always taken the yellow comb all over and done a nicely shaped, tight head on. But at Christmas time, you know, I always get a little cocky. And I, you know, they're having parties and this is a big extended family and they do the cooking and I always go there on Christmas Eve and I always go there the day before Thanksgiving and their house always smells fabulous and they feed me and well, they're part of the fan club of my fan club, my personal fan club. So this last year, we had a little bit extra hair on the dog and we had just lost their other senior Bichon. So I wanted to spend a little extra time with Buddy. So I did a more sculpted, but still pretty tight groom that was more breed appropriate. I left the neck crest larger than I usually do, brought it back to the spot it's supposed to join up with the body a little bit better. I took the chest really short so that it made it appear more sculpted. I also took the back end of the dog really, really tight and in the top of the legs a little bit tighter so that the outside of the dog's body looked a little fuller. I didn't do a lot with the tuck up or with the lower chest because those are areas where they get tangles. So I kind of still left that. So it's a more curvaceous form of Bichon haircut. Well, they loved it. And now what are we in May? I'm still doing that freaking haircut on that dog, which is, well, past my pay grade. I can do it, but it's challenging. But, it points out my flaws.
No, it doesn't. You're just going to need to master it because it's so simple, Susie. You're overworking it.
Okay, yeah, so let me tell you where my area is.
Okay.
So I am getting much better at connecting the dots on the groom, right? The top of the shoulder, where it comes into the closeness on the chest, those areas where I'm blending on the hips to the fuller leg area. I'm getting better at that. As a matter of fact, I'm getting really good at the butt. I'm getting cute little Bichon butts. I'm happy good with that. I cannot for the life of me get the right leg and the left leg to look the same with my scissoring. I don't know what it is other than I do have somewhat deformed hands at this point. And even with my evolution shears, I'm lacking some control of the scissors. I think maybe because of the way my hands fit in them. Or I'm just not developing that muscle well enough. You know, I don't have enough practice on it. So what I want, and I'm trying to do the make a square a circle thing, but for some reason, I still end up with uneven circles. And I'm not artistic and I'm not good at seeing the, like I can see it when I do it right, but when it's going wrong, I panic and make it go worse. I'm inventing words now. So how can I fix that part of my scissoring? What are the tips I can do? And I've been like, good enough is good enough for 90% of my grooming, but I'm recognizing for this and for I have a dog that has a bad knee that has a fuller coat where I'm having to scissor his front legs always on this dog. And I'm having the same issue because it's looking the same issue from both dogs, even though one's a Havanese and one's a Bichon.
So you tried to like not use the snap-on combs at all?
I can use it down the outside of the legs, but I can't pick up the legs and do the back or the inside or the front. So I've got it to set on the outside. So that part comes out okay. It's more the inside and the front area that comes out different looking on either side.
So if you're using, if you set the length with your snap-on comb, and if you want to leave more hair than the yellow, go up to that next one, the comb.
Yeah.
You know, you set the length with that comb and that's it. And you get the shape with your snap-on comb. You scoop into, you know, you may even use a slightly smaller comb to scoop into your rear angulation.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Your rear end. But then your scissoring is just at the very surface of the, it sounds like you're actually cutting too much on one side.
Yeah, I think you're on to something because I think it's the control of my scissors on the one side. And I'm wondering if it has to do with the weirdness. I mean,
look at your hands. I know. Here's what happened to me in regards to scissoring this week, because I had scissoring moment too. So you might have noticed on my Facebook page, I fell in love with the video of an Asian teddy bear poodle. Oh God, I fell in love with that look. I have been working on more kind of Asian upping my groom a little bit, because I think there's some elements to the Asian styles that are very appealing. So, and I've been working on that for a couple of years, and I've been trying to get that mustache, the mouth thing going. Well, this dog just captured me so completely that I devoted myself to achieving this look. And that requires that I looked at, well, what do I need to do? Okay, I'm going to need to do better scissoring and more of it. And I watched the groomer scissor and I said, okay, I have, because my hands hurt and I'm not so and stuff, my snips per minute. Okay. Drastically reduced, you know. I'm no longer going net 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 net. I'm going net 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 net. You know, like that.
So your scissors aren't singing as much as they are staccato.
Yeah, they're not singing, and I'm not moving my thumb as much. And I started trying to scissor that way. On the very, very, I said, look, she's not taking off anything. And then she's coming up and looking at it again, and she's doing a little bit more. So I said, okay, I'm going to try scissoring that way, just moving my thumb in, not so much, not real wide strokes, but more strokes per minute. And damn, my scissoring fell together.
Well, you're hitting on something that we've talked about before with me, is less is better. Mm-hmm. Is I should leave more, I should just leave it alone a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah.
Especially on that side that I get frustrated on. So how much does the quality of your shears and the matter of how good an edge you have on, how much does that have to do with your finish?
Well, that does have a lot to do with your finish, and it has a lot to do with the effort that it causes or saves to do that. Now, the man who taught me how to groom, he used to sharpen his own scissors with a file, for Christ's sake, you know. I learned how to do it. And not surprisingly, he got terrible carpal tunnel syndrome and had to have twice done hand before he quit. And I know that it was because he was scissoring fast, but he was scissoring fast with these crappy scissors, and he could have used kitchen shears and made a dog look fabulous. You know, the quality of the shears has a lot to do with the action of the shears and how much stress it puts on your thumb to move that thumb ring up and down.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. There's things I could probably do in my area to make my scissoring better, like improving my lighting. You put that lighting bar across, right? That helped you a lot, yeah, didn't it?
And I'm even looking at getting one of those. Debbie Joe sent that funny picture showing her with the miner's helmet kind of thing on her head. And she said that this helped her with the black dogs. I have three black miniature poodles that I hand scissor, and it's agony every month because of just lighting problems. So you're right, lighting is very important.
The background also, like what you're looking at behind the dog, probably has some effect too. It's cluttered for me. I'm looking for every bit of help I could possibly get. Maybe if I had, well, in my case, I do have a simple background, but if my background was cluttered, it would be harder for me to see the outline of the dog, I would think. I am not magical and artistic like you are. It doesn't just happen for me. I'm struggling the whole freaking time.
I hear you, but I really hear you. The tabletop is very important. I will never groom on a black tabletop.
And I'm grooming on a black tabletop. Because I've got a black floor mat on there. I've got a anti-fatigue mat on my table. It's black. Maybe I throw some color over it.
Black disappears stuff. It disappears the line. The only thing that shows up great against black is white. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, blue is great. Green is good.
I don't even know what color my table. It might be gray.
So you might want to get one of those, you know, there are those pit mats that are on the market now that are like doggy yoga mats, right?
Right, or I could just get a yoga mat.
Or you could just get a yoga mat, yeah.
Yeah, because I want to leave that anti-fatigue mat because it's for the old dogs and their sensitive feet and stuff like that. I don't want to remove that anti-fatigue mat, but it's black.
But the grooming mats are do the same thing. They have some cushioning and they have a better foothold.
Okay.
Or what? So it's just something to think about. But the other thing is when you're doing the back legs with the snap-on comb, are you lifting the dog up and doing the inside of the back legs like that with the dog held up? I highly recommend it because, okay, so inside
like the body of the dog held up and I'm doing the leg down that way?
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't.
For me, even sometimes if I can't lift the whole dog up by the front legs and do the inside of the back legs with the snap-on comb, I will lift up one leg and reach under and do the inside of the opposite leg because it's the inside of the legs sometimes that you don't get right that makes the whole leg look bigger or smaller.
I definitely do what you just said. I pick the one leg up and do the inside of the one, and then I do the other one that way. And then I come in with my tiny little 5.5-inch sharp precision cut shears, and I can do like that part of the leg, like the back legs, I'm way better at on the back legs. Way better out on the back legs than I am on the front legs for whatever reason. I can connect those dots together seamlessly. Up front, that whole front leg column, beautiful show dog look is just, I think you hit on it for me. I'm taking too much hair off because I always feel like I need to do something. And I am probably not doing myself any good by scissoring the dogs on a black tabletop, even though this particular dog's white.
And use a scissor spray because competition groomers will tell you that scissor sprays make a difference because they do. When you're trying to refine your scissoring and you're using a scissor spray that's helping the ends of that hair stand out, because every time when you use the snap-on comb, the hair all gets pushed down. And even when you're scissoring, the hair gets pushed around. So the scissoring spray helps keep the form that you're trying to make. If the form is moving, you're going to, you know, if it's too floppy, the hair is too floppy, it's going to be harder to scissor a straight line, especially if you're using tiny scissors and making a lot of scissor marks. Yeah, you might try using the next size up shear on those front legs. I do a lot of my front leg scissoring is pointing down.
Yeah, I pretty much mostly do it that way. You know,
but you have to get the inside of the front leg.
Yeah, that one I've been picking up and doing this. Sorry, people. I've been combing the hair to the inside of the dog. I just illustrated it with my hands, but I didn't describe it. So combing the hair up in the inside, picking up the front leg, and then scissoring back underneath the dog on either side. Of course, that's another issue because when I do that on the side that looks lousy, which is the front left foot, then I'm holding it and scissoring with my off hand.
I applaud you for challenging yourself with this because I know that you can improve. I know that there's better scissoring in you, and it's largely a matter of you're just relaxing and don't try to cut too much with any one try. Just watch that video. Watch that Korean girl. It's porn for me. I don't know. I just love the way that she's shaping and she's, you know, and she stops and she looks and she comes back up and she takes just the tiniest little, you don't see very much hair coming off that dog at all because she's shaping in very small increments. She's scissoring in very small increments. Top scissoring, just the very, very top, is key to getting that plushness of result. You should be getting all your right shape with the snap-on combs, and then you're just scissoring the finish.
That's the way I do most everybody, but I'm lazy because mostly I'm not sculpting too. This dog, I screwed up by making it extra sculpty. Yeah, they love it though. And I like the way the dog looks. People think they got a new dog, which cracks me up.
That's great. Yeah.
Quick break, Barbara, and back to our definition du jour per sulfates. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Tell me about persulfates, Barbara. It's kind of fun to say.
Yeah, persulfates, because, you know, it looks like it's going to be harder to pronounce than it is because we get the per out of our mouth and there it is. Sulfates, we've seen that a lot. We've said that before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can say that. Well, what you couldn't say is how persulfates work. It is so freaking chemical that I didn't even copy and paste it. Here's the deal. Somebody posted a question about using the O-Paws lightening cream for urine stains. So apparently this is a lightening cream that's used in conjunction with artistic coloring of the coat. O-Paws being the manufacturer or at least the distributor of a whole line of colors, amazing colors for color work with dogs and cats. And this is their lightening brightening cream. So the post said some people had said they've been using it from around the mouth stains and would it be good for urine stains as well. And down at the end of the O-Paws label, sure enough, there's the ingredients. Yeehaw, thank you. Thank you very much. So it's mainly persulfates. It's a couple of different ones. And I looked it up because I, you know, like I was saying, does this contain hydrogen peroxide? No.
Wait, what's the per from?
Well, the per is, persulfates are another bleaching agent.
But it doesn't have peroxide.
But it doesn't have peroxide, but it is oxidating. It's working in the same way. But it's not a peroxide. It's working in the same way that a peroxide bleach would work. It's working by oxidation. And, you know, chemical byproducts are formed. And, you know, ultimately, the cuticle is raised, the cortex is penetrated, and the melanin is
Neutralized.
Neutralized. And now you got no color. And there you go. So it's a form of bleaching. And I looked up, well, is it safe? I looked this up on the Cosmetic Ingredient Review final report on blah, blah, blah for sulfates, okay? And they determined the judgment of the comedian, that would be me.
Yes.
You laugh at me.
Yes.
The Cosmetic Ingredient Review Board was that it's safe as used, very infrequently left on for just a short period of time and totally rinsed. But in the middle, I read this to quote, the persulfates were reported. It doesn't cause cancer. It doesn't cause tumors. Coomers. Those are cancerous tumors. Coomers. I just made up a new word.
Does it cause comedians? That's what I need to know.
The persulfates were reported to cause both delayed type and immediate skin reactions.
Uh-oh, irritant.
Including irritant dermatitis, allergic eczematous dermatitis, localized contact urticaria, generalized urticaria, rhinitis, asthma, and syncope.
Well, that doesn't sound safe.
You probably know what urticaria is.
No, it's got to have something to do with skin.
Hives,
okay.
Hives type rash, welts. Yeah, you know, hives.
Yep.
And do you know what syncope is? I didn't.
Nope, not that one.
Fainting. Loss of consciousness.
Not good. But yet, probably a minute amount though, right?
It is. But the most common causes of allergic dermatitis in hairdressers are the active ingredients in hair dyes, and ammonium persulfate has been identified as a frequent allergen. Definitely wouldn't use any of this on a sensitive dog, but I wouldn't use it around the face. And the to their benefit, OPA says right in their instructions, do not use around mouth or eyes.
Okay.
Well, around mouth or eyes is the face.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
You know, it doesn't have to be in the mouth, but if it's on the mouth, it's likely to go in the mouth.
Yeah.
That tongue comes out and grabs that hair so fast. Don't you hate it when you're trying to trim the hairs? The dog is one of those that folds the hair into its mouth, and you're trying to trim those hairs off, and the dog keeps, in the middle of your scissoring, keeps sticking his tongue out and scooping them back in his mouth. Oh, that drives me nuts. Oh, I hate this.
And it's wet and stained and long because you know, missed it last time.
Well, because the dog could just like, anyway, and up around the eyes, you've got there's a certain amount of fumes or whatever that's associated with the chemical reaction of these bleaching agents. And I just wouldn't want it around the eyes at all. I'd be real hesitant to use this bleaching product to do facial stains.
What about the urine stain?
Well, somebody else made an interesting point, and they said because the urine is a kind of an irritant to the hair, you've already damaged the hair, and then you add the product, and it's going to be real rough on the hair, and that's true. So, but I don't know to what extent the urine really damages the hair, but definitely stains it. It definitely penetrates enough to make a permanent stain that has to grow out. I think it would be more safe to use it for that kind of staining because it's away from the face. It's not
as you could test it.
You could test it, yeah.
I would definitely do a test spot because that is sensitive skin area down there. I mean, there are sensitive areas in that neighborhood. So,
yeah. And if the way I see it, the urine can really irritate the skin.
Yep.
So you might have compromised skin. You don't want to put oxidative bleach on that.
Do we think this is primarily in this particular product, or might it be in things like whitening shampoos or stuff like that?
I've never seen it in the shampoo.
Okay.
It could sneak in. There's, you know, like formulators are not lazy people. They are people that are always trying to come up with some new thing. I mean, that's the way their minds work. Formulators formulate, right?
Yes. Yeah.
They don't. Yep. They don't just like formulate one thing and retire from the field.
Right.
You know. No. They keep on. They formulate in their sleep. They wake up formulating. They go to bed formulating. You know. They tweet it. I just read a thing about by a formulator. Like, join our Twitter thing.
Twitter.
You know. Yeah. Twitter. You can find out new studies and stuff. I'm actually going to do it. But you know. Formulators are very motivated to come up with the new uses of ingredients and so forth. So a persulfate could maybe slip into it, but just watch out for it. I don't say don't use it. Just know that it's a bleach. That's an oxidative bleach.
So Barbara, I got my order from Show Season recently, and in it was included two products that I didn't really realize Show Season was involved with, but I understand that they are now somewhat involved in these, both of these products. One of them is the South Bark Coconut Blueberry Facial Pet Wash Foaming Thing. I finally got my hands on some of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Show Season owns that now.
Okay, so I got it in my Show Season order. Man, that stuff smells spectacular.
Isn't it? It's a good option for face cleaning. I like it.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is give it the real test. The real test is Sherman, my rat, my big greasy male rat. I'm going to take it. He hates the water. So I'm going to give him a waterless bath with the foaming pet wash and see how he comes out. And I'll report back in next week. But I've been using it a lot on all the dogs. I like it because it smells so good. It motivates me to use it. And it's foaming. So I know it's a little bit less harsh in the eyes area. And I'm liking that. The other thing I got was Lisa Leedy's Miracle Ear Elixir, which I love. And also Show Season is shipping that out. So I thought that was interesting.
I think she's just distributing that.
That makes sense. But I still was able to get it through Show Season. So FYI, people, if you want to try that Miracle Ear Elixir, now you can get it with your Show Season order.
I'm no longer selling it because I'm not selling things I have to buy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that about you. So let's get that from Show Season since they are our sponsors. But I also got a 16 ounce of the honey shampoo. Man, that stuff is delicious. I like it.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Yeah.
It's a really nice fragrance. Not overly sweet, but just it's really a happy scent. We did a little dog yesterday, Susie. It was, I'm doing more and more special needs dogs. This was an elderly little poodle chihuahua mix. So it looked like a chihuahua with fluffy gray hair, and she wanted it. And she said the dog had big issues with strangers. She just moved here from Phoenix. She didn't know where to go, and could I give her an express groomer? She just wanted a smoothie. I mean, she wanted all the hair off. She said he's so bad about it that we just do it twice a year, so I just need everything off. And, oh, God, the dog was the cutest thing, the cutest thing. So, she and I had a long talk before I took the dog in, but we just made it look like a chihuahua. And it really did look like a chihuahua. And then Yvonne said, what do we bathe it in, Barbara? And she said, let's make it smell good because we didn't do anything with the styling, that's for sure. And I said, I get it. Use the honey shampoo. You know, and we did, and he just smelled just dreamy, and she just cuddled him up, and we didn't even have to dry him. She just wanted him, you know, and she was, and it was just so nice. That honey smell just makes them so huggable.
It makes me think of oatmeal cookies baking in the oven. Yeah, so if you guys want to get a hold of some of that, or some of those other products that I talked about, which especially that pet wash, that foaming pet wash. You can call Show Season at 678-382-0218. Or if you're already set up with them, you can email your order and get the wholesale price that way. But the easiest way to do it is find it at your local distributors, like my local distributor, Cascade Grooming Supply. All right, Barbara, one more break, and then it's a mobile moment, which I know they're rare, but we're going to have one.
Oh, good.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. Look out, here it comes. It's your mobile moment. Time for Susie's theory of mobile grooming scheduling. Some of this applies to regular scheduling as well, so bear with me if you're in a shop. You know, you might find a nugget or two that will be helpful. And Barbara, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to push through the subject and wave your finger if you want to add in any comments, but we'll get through it before, because I promised it like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Okay.
Good job.
The first thing is when you're just starting out, it seems overwhelming to get the scheduling part down. And for the first little while, let go of the how long is it going to take to groom a dog and give yourself a ton of time for each of your stops. So you can get familiar with how it works in your own shop, in your own trailer, in your own whatever. Give yourself plenty of time. Don't look at the dollar per hour figure when you're starting out. Just let it go. Just let it go. You're going to work more hours than you're going to get paid for. It's your business. It's just how it's going to work at the beginning. With that in mind, it helps if you give your schedule a little bit of structure. My favorite structure is the breakdown between even and odd appointments. Most of your appointments will fall on 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 2 weeks, but there's these outliers who like to get their dogs done on 3 weeks, 6 weeks, and 12-week schedules, sometimes even 9-week schedules. Usually the nines will go to 8 weeks, but the 12 weeks, they're out there. And I try to cater to all of these different groups, right? But it gets difficult when you get in a mobile situation, most of your client base is full and repeating. And then you get somebody who wants one of those 3 or 5 week schedules, and you've got to try to figure out how it fits into your already pre-booked year of schedule. it's easy to do if you keep all the odd appointments on one day of the week. So for me, my 3-week, 6-week, 9-week appointments, they're not all odd because 6 weeks isn't odd. I realized that as I was saying the words. The 3, 6, 9, 12-week appointments all go on Monday because there's not a ton of them. They're definitely in the minority. Then that leaves the rest of your appointment days to schedule in the even numbers. It can be annoying to some people who definitely want their appointment on Monday, but when you explain the way it goes, you can offer them a 3 or 6 week or 9 week appointment instead of the even appointments and or the 2, 4, 6 week appointments. I keep saying even and odd. I gotta let that go. Let it go. Just let it go. Anyway, the 3, 6, 9 weeks need to go all on one day because they complicate your life if they're repeating appointments. And as a mobile groomer, they're going to be repeating appointments. The other thing that will kind of complicate things is whether you work weekends or not. Now, personally, as a mobile groomer, I like to work weekends because there's less traffic. Traffic is a time suck. And we have a lot of traffic here. And because I like to cater to the animal rather than the neighborhood, I have a tendency to have to drive a little bit out of area on occasions for special needs pets or people that, well, they need me. So I try to work on the lighter traffic days. Mondays and Fridays are heavy traffic days. Friday morning isn't too bad. So know your traffic flow in your area and schedule accordingly. And don't shy away from working on weekends. Because it's really handy to have weekdays off. Have you ever done that? You have weekdays off. You've got a weekday in there. You can go to appointments and stuff. It's handy. As you set your schedule, there's a bunch of different variables that will affect how long the dogs take. So when I started out, I just flat out gave each dog 2.5 hours because I didn't know how hard it was going to be to find the house, how hard it was going to be to set up at the house, what the dog's behavior was like, what the dog's condition was like. There's so many variables. 2.5 hours, not a moneymaker. Know that going in, right? But for the first few weeks, it gives you a huge amount of range to then adjust your schedule and get used to things. Big dogs versus small dogs. Big dogs take a really long time to dry. So you have to adjust your schedule for them. Whereas I can get in and out of some houses in an hour. A big doodle is going to be 2.5 hours because an hour of that is going to be flat out drying time for me. It's hand dried, standing there working on the dog the whole time. So you've got to give yourself enough time. Nothing is going to piss you off or make your energy more negative than being late and feeling the pressure of that while you're on the road and all the other things going on. So give yourself a break in that respect. Multi-dog households are a little difficult to schedule with too. You can actually cut a little bit of time out of those multi-dog households because you don't have the travel time. But all of these variables make your schedule a variable as well. Like you can't go appointment at 9, appointment at 10:30, appointment at 1:30, appointment at 3:30. It just doesn't work that way because of all of these variables. Even though Barbara's got a story about that.
Well, that's how I had to work. The 6 months that I was a mobile groomer, every day was set. You had an 8 o'clock appointment, 9:30. 11, it was just like that was your day every single day, unless there were two dogs at a stop. And so you had an hour and a quarter and 15 minutes to get to your next appointment. It was crazy starting out and coming to realize all those factors. And it was the days before HV.
Yep.
Yo, man, it was a trip. So I agree. Yeah, definitely.
That's why I say 2.5 hours, give yourself a break when you're getting figured out. You're going to work more hours than you're going to get paid for, but you're going to have less stress by doing it that way. It just is better that way. So haircuts versus baths. The multi-dog households always seem to have a mix of haircuts and bath dogs. That affects how long you schedule for them as well. And, you know, you set your schedule 6 weeks in advance and then you have to squeeze somebody in. Mobile grooming clients need to be a little bit flexible with that. So I give a person a schedule using my best guess. Well, for me, it's a little bit easier because everybody's a repeating appointment. So I kind of know at this point. But when I started out, I'd say, okay, it'll be about 2:30-ish. The night before when I send my reminder text and I can actually look at how far I have to drive, what the logistics are of each of the grooms, all of the interesting things that affect how to schedule, then I can adjust their time a little bit either way the night before I show up. That flexibility makes it doable. Because if you don't have that flexibility, people are so rigid that they have to have you at a certain time. They're not really a good fit for mobile. And recognize that right off the bat. If somebody's difficult to schedule with, they cancel their appointment a few times, they forget or something like that, know that it isn't necessarily their fault. They're just not used to mobile grooming and they may not be a good fit, and let them go. Don't stress yourself out with that. They're much better for a shop where they can drop the dog off in the morning and pick it up in the afternoon. So kind of get so that you can recognize that, because that definitely affects your schedule big time. Routing is a unique challenge with mobile grooming, because you guys in the shop, you obviously don't have to route.
Thank God.
So there's two schools of thought basically with routing. First, let's talk about the smart routing that's available for a lot of these apps that are available for mobile grooming scheduling. I don't feel comfortable with smart scheduling because it reroutes the people's appointment times as you schedule. So you can't give them an appointment time. I don't see how that is really very helpful in certain situations. Now, if you're just in it for the money, you're not so focused on the service aspect. I'm a service provider in this case. Service is kind of where I excel, not necessarily in haircuts. So I want to cater to that person in that way. If you're out there running a fleet of groomers and you want it routed, then I think smart scheduling on a mobile app is very helpful. But for me, I like to look at each day as an individual adventure. And whatever falls on that day, falls on that day. Now, I try to schedule my farthest appointment away from the house for my middle of the day appointment, so that I start out at the house, I work my way out. By the middle of the day, I turn around and work my way back home. Other people may like to start out away from the house and work their way home. So their farthest appointment might be the first one in the morning. Other people like to start out really close to home because they always run late, and they'll have their first appointment closer to home. The smart scheduling will group neighborhoods, they'll group timing, but I think for me, I am much better off doing my own routing. And that's kind of how I do it. I want to keep all of my people that love me and I love them. And so if they don't necessarily fall into a smart route, I just add a little bit of extra time during the end of my day and I drive out to their house. That's the way I work it. I enjoy driving though. Some people may not enjoy the driving experience as much as I do.
Speaking of the driving experience, I had a regular customer show up yesterday in a Jaguar SUV. Oh, what a beautiful vehicle.
It is a beautiful vehicle, but you don't want to own it. luxury and beautiful interior.
And the paint, it was glitterized.
Oh, yeah.
And it was sparkly. Not real gaudy at all. You had to look closely to see that, but it was just, you know, like mesmerizing. The paint job was just mesmerizing. You just needed a foreign car mechanic. That's all. Just need a Jaguar mechanic.
And deep pockets.
Well, these people have that.
Yeah. So then good. That works then. So the last thing I want to say is I drive anywhere from 35 to 50 miles a day, usually more towards 35 rather than 50. I don't route myself smartly, so I probably have extra miles in there that could be eliminated by not driving back and forth, but I enjoy that whole thing. So I just do it that way. I try to be the flexible one for my clients. I try not to move their appointments all the time. Brandy moves appointments all the time. It drives me crazy how she adjusts her appointments. I adjust my appointment the day before by a half an hour, maybe, you know, if I can see I'm going to be late, pre-predict my lateness, then I will adjust that appointment out. But I generally don't change days on people and I don't change generalized appointment times on people. I try to be the flexible one and let them not be. That is my choice.
Yeah, that's my choice too.
Yeah.
And that's why where my motto is make it work for you. That's how I approach my customers. Make it work for you. What they asked me, what time should I? I said, well, what works for you? You know, like I want to be the bending branch, because they have selected me in the middle of their day. you know, and I so appreciate that. And I, you know, I can, and when they say, you know, like, we want to go to the movies, can we leave them here for, you know, 6 hours? I say, sure, make it work for you. It's only grooming. Make it work.
Yes. And that works for both of you. That works for the client, but it also works for you. This is your business. And if you're finding a difficult situation and it's not working for you, there's plenty of other animals that are a better fit. And just let people go when you need to. And speaking of letting people go when you need to, Barbara, I'm going to let you go on your way, and I myself am going to go groom a couple dogs because, you know, it's my day off and that's what I do.
Well, and it's Cinco de Mayo, you know, like, excuse me, you missed that.
I did miss that because I don't drink.
Oh, is that what it is for you? Cinco de Mayo is just Mexican music day. It's taco day.
Okay, we are so far removed from that part of the border up here that it is just a night for people to go out and drink and eat Mexican food. So believe me, we are in the land of geeks, and May the 4th be with you is a far bigger deal. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for helping me scissor a little bit better and make my expectations continue to be high and know that I can keep learning even after this many years.
That was what was so fun about making a pledge to master the Asian teddy bear head. I still want to learn. I still want to take on a new challenge. It's what lights my fire.
Yes, I'm on board with that.
Let's all do that.
Yes, let's all do that and have a great day. Happy grooming, everybody. Come join us again next week on the Groom Pod because I know Barbara and I are going to be here. See you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Stay cool.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.